This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by PRMIseattle.com, Primary Residential Mortgage. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Crime.
Cuomo has a story out picking up basically on my years-long reporting about the staffing crisis at the SPD. Staffing crisis that has shifted significantly in the amount of people who have left the force, but also the reasons why they have left the force. You'll recall several years ago when I started uncovering the story that I was told at the time I was making up. I didn't know what it was I was talking about until all of those outlets started to acknowledge that I was telling the truth and, of course, never apologizing. It started off simply them saying, I don't like working without a contract for a city that doesn't appreciate me. And no one likes to work at an office, at a agency, wherever, a nonprofit that doesn't appreciate the work that they're doing. At the time, they had Shama Sawant going overboard in the way that only Shama Sawant can, calling them murderers and racists and all that stuff. Then you had George Floyd and the BLM peaceful protests that were, in fact, nasty riots that were incredibly violent. After that, you saw the attack on cops go through the roof, both literally and figuratively, and they left in even larger numbers. And then, of course, what happened recently, the COVID vaccine mandate that took about 100 more cops off the streets. We're at the lowest level of deployable staff since at least the 1980s. And I keep saying at least because I don't know, like going back before that, no one seems to know what the numbers were. That's how low it was. That's how low it is. But an aspect of this conversation that hasn't really been getting a lot of attention, we've talked about a little bit on the show, was the person you contact before SPD arrives when you have an emergency, you call 911. When you call 911, you have an operator, you have a dispatcher. And right now, as it stands, when you call 911, you are getting half the staff picking up that phone that you used to have. Because half, almost half, it's actually 49% of the 911 call center is empty. Call takers have a 51% vacancy rate. The dispatchers are short 19%. The floor operations staff overall, down 36% of the staff that they need. Now, on average, because it's not like 911 gets called that often, but on average, 911 calls get picked up within about 11 seconds. However, 5% of every single call, of every single day of all the calls, 5%, can take more than 40 seconds before someone picks up. And I want you to think about that for a moment. 40 seconds. Can you hold your breath for 40 seconds? It gets increasingly difficult at some point. Now, imagine holding your breath because you just got shot and shot your lung. And you've got a friend of yours who's calling 911 trying to get someone to you. You're having a heart attack. Something is happening. You're witnessing something happen to a loved one. And you're on that phone. You call 911. You're trying desperately to get someone to come and help. Someone's breaking into your home right now. You're upstairs in your bedroom in Northgate. Someone's breaking into your home. And you can hear them. And you can hear them getting closer and closer and closer to your bedroom. Picked up that phone the second that you realized that you called 911 and you waited 10 seconds hoping someone would pick up and no one does. Then you wait another 10 seconds and another and another. And then finally someone picks up. What can happen in those 40 seconds? A lot. Making that worse, what could happen in 8 minutes and 40 seconds? Worse stuff, right? Because on average, it's going to take you about 8 minutes for an officer to actually show up to that emergency. When we're talking about fire, EMTs, they have a faster turnaround time depending on when it is you call. Hopefully you don't call, hopefully you don't have an emergency at a time in which they're taking some of their units offline because of their staffing crisis. All of this adds up. Every single second adds up and it becomes minutes. And it is happening at a time that we are choosing to allow it to happen. Mayor Jenny Durkan is choosing to keep unvaccinated workers or workers who are unwilling to show their vaccine paperwork off the job. She made that choice. She can undo that, but she's choosing not to. On top of that, we have the stuff that Durkin had nothing to do with, not wanting to work with this council, wanting to work in this city because of the BLM movement. We have a very clear crisis, yes? Reasonable people will note this. The media here is finally starting to talk about it a little bit more. Still not all that much. I remain the only person talking about the daily open slots in every single precinct, on every single day, on every single watch with the SPD that need to be filled. Some are starting to pick it up, but guess what? Still, does it feel like anyone is taking this seriously? I'm asking that honestly. Do you think this council takes this seriously? Because I don't hear them talking about it. If you knew that you were down 50% in your 911 call center, if you knew you had the lowest deployable staff rate for officers in decades, if you knew that crime was going up, if you knew that a kid had to watch his dad die because they couldn't get someone to that home fast enough after he called 911, would you not talk about this every day? Would you not bring this up every single day? Would you not have a press conference constantly talking about solutions you are proposing? Would you not be out there any moment you could to get in front of a camera to shine a giant spotlight on this crisis and say, this is what needs to be done to fix this problem? Because I would be. In fact, I am. We talk about this pretty much every single day on this show. We talk about this frequently on Fox News when I'm on. I tweet about this every single day. No one else is following through. And that means you're going to get that next kid who calls 911 but doesn't get a response fast enough as his dad is there dying, struggling to breathe. Now that kid, that family is suing. I'm glad that they're suing. Something tells me there are going to be more lawsuits because I have more stories of similar circumstances happening. And I'm doing my due diligence. We don't just rush on air to get stories out there until I'm able to verify everything and get some answers to questions I have. But I know these things are happening because I talk to officers who can't get to places on time. I talk to firefighters and EMTs who can't get to emergencies on time. It's not for lack of trying. It's not because there's too much traffic. It's not because we have an increase in people suddenly having heart attacks. It's because of the staffing crisis that was created or worsened by politicians. The same politicians who will put out a press release talking about how important this is, but won't do much more than that. We have an incoming mayor who says he's going to try to tackle this, and I believe that he cares about public safety, Bruce Harrell. He's not saying anything about this right now. He could. He could start the pressure campaign right now on the council. The council is the only thing standing in the way of this, really. They could overturn the mayor's edict. They can offer pay increases, bonuses, instead of getting in the way so we can recruit more officers. They're choosing not to. It's all intentional, and people are going to die as a result. No one seems to care. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we'll dive into Chris Cuomo breaking his silence about being suspended from CNN on a radio show I did not know existed, and now that I do, and learned the title of the show, wishes I didn't. We'll get into that in a moment. I'll be on Fox News at night later this evening, 9 o'clock hour. If you can't watch it live, you can check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/JasonRants. I'll also be on Varney & Company tomorrow morning at 8:40. Hope you'll be able to tune in. But again, we post all of our hits over at youtube.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in the media?
The biggest takeaway I have from the suspension of Chris Cuomo is that he has a radio show.
Yes, he does. You want to know why you've never heard of it?
It's on SiriusXM.
That's exactly why.
Probably why. find out for me how often it's on. Is it a daily show? It cannot be. It has to be just like a once a week pretend show because they think that they increase their brand and it gives Chris Cuomo more time to just talk. Because I thought he was doing a podcast with his BFF Don Lemon, which I can't imagine anyone actually listens to. But it's not called the Chris Cuomo Show, which would make sense. It's actually a different show name that also makes sense in the most insufferable way.
I'm afraid to say I think it's daily.
No, it's not! That cannot be true!
I mean, I'm looking at the schedule for the week, and it looks like it's scheduled every single day.
Is it an hour?
At 9 a.m. 2 hours.
Okay, first of all, 2 hours. You do a three-hour show is the minimum.
Well, it starts at 9, and then the Dan Abrams show is next up at 11 a.m.
That cannot... And the funny thing is, 9 to 10 is a re-rack of the previous day's show, I bet. You had to do one. You know what it's called? Let's get after it.
Let's get after it.
Because he says that on CNN. Let's get after it. You haven't gotten after anything at all, except for dirt on the accusers who go after your brother.
They re-air his show at 3 p.m. also.
So that makes sense. They have no programming at SiriusXM.
It plays twice a day.
He responded on the show today about the suspension over at CNN. He's been suspended indefinitely because he used CNN resources. He used his media contacts to try to get dirt on the accusers of his brother who claim sexual harassment or misconduct, groping, forcing kisses or trying to force kisses on them. And obviously it took down Andrew Cuomo. He was forced to resign. And it looks like it's going to take down Chris Cuomo. It's curious how some folks are reacting because part of me understands to a point the defense of Chris Cuomo. And there is a valid defense. Tucker Carlson made it last night. Not because he likes Chris Cuomo. He can't stand Chris Cuomo. He thinks he's a buffoon. He thinks he's a total idiot. And I agree with that. But people saying, I can't believe you would do this. He is the guy's brother. And generally, family sticks with one another. They are loyal to family. And we give to a degree, generally speaking, we're supposed to give that a pass. There are times when after someone is shot, a family member comes up and says something completely outrageous. And I'll say, look, that's outrageous. I think it's potentially dangerous, but I understand where they're coming from. They are experiencing grief, and in grief, in that kind of an emotional issue, you don't always say things that make sense or do things that make sense. This is an instance of sexual misconduct, and he was trying to help out his brother. And it's something I wouldn't help out my brother. I don't really care too much for him. But I mean, if I did, I would understand why he would be defended in that way. And for that, I understand. It doesn't mean what he did was right. And it's not like Tucker is saying he's ethical in what he did. He's just saying he understands what he's doing. Is it a fireable offense? I don't know. Lots of people want to see him fired. Likely will happen. Here's what he said.
Hey, everybody, it's Chris Cuomo. Let's get after it.
Oh. And by the way, how did we find this audio? Is this the quality of, like, is he on a phone doing the show from his office? In his basement.
This is just the link that was posted with it. Okay, don't come after me.
I'm not saying it's you. I'm saying if this was the quality that went out over the air, that's funny because this is some guy who's just calling in on a phone, a tin can with a string, which is, by the way, all that SiriusXM can afford to put into their infrastructure now because it's such a dying model.
Note about the obvious. I've been suspended from CNN. Do me a favor, cut the music. Thank you.
Again, this is why he's not a radio host, really. Because smart radio hosts would realize, hey, it's going to be a little weird as I talk about this for you to have the bed music play underneath me the entire time, especially this kind of poppy, cool, jazzy kind of stuff. Maybe let's, you know, fade it out a little bit sooner than you normally would because I want to make sure that we are taking this seriously and it doesn't sound silly. But there was no producing going into this. And also shame on his producer or engineer, whoever was responsible for that. Dum-dum, you're supposed to realize you should probably fade it down a little bit soon.
Well, and he came in way too chipper for what he's going into.
No, let's get after it.
Hey, let's get after it.
Let's get after my career the way that some people are getting after. So, you know.
You know this already.
Yes.
It hurts to even say it.
Okay, well, you sound fine.
It's embarrassing.
Is it?
But I understand it.
Oh, you understand.
And I understand why some people feel the way they do about what I did.
Are they right?
I've apologized in the past. I mean it.
No,
it's the last thing I ever wanted to do was compromise any of my colleagues and do anything but help.
And in fairness, they can't.
I know they have a process
that
they think is important. I respect that process.
So
I'm not
going to
talk about this anymore than that. So for right now, let's just get after it. And there's plenty to do.
The lead story, of course, was Chris Cuomo being suspended indefinitely from CNN. And he then spent the next 10 minutes diving into it.
Per sources. What source, Chris?
It's funny. So there are a bunch of reports that are out now suggesting that no one at CNN likes him, which makes total sense to me. This is the guy who constantly videotapes himself doing, lat pull downs and chest presses and the curls, and he posts it online or puts it on his show, talk about how strong he is. Yeah, we got it, dude. You're so cool. Apparently people are upset that he put the network through this, which I find particularly funny. Jake Tapper apparently is one who was, quote, infuriated with CNN's inaction on Cuomo, that according to the Daily Beast, which added that, quote, Cuomo had become incredibly unpopular. Then they say a CNN insider said the staffer's sentiment at the network is, quote, I don't know anyone who likes him. So they're equal parts mad at Jeff Zucker, who's the chairman of CNN, for not doing something sooner. And they're mad at Chris Cuomo, who very clearly downplayed his role in all of this. For them to be upset about this, of all the things that not just Chris Cuomo, but your network has done in lying and misleading, fanning the flames of hatred and division, this is what you're mad at? Not all the other stuff. Not the constant, and I mean constant, attacks in bad faith against Republicans, claiming everything is racist and everything is an example of white supremacy in action. That is all good. But Chris Cuomo helped out his brother, so oh my gosh, I can't believe you did not suspend him sooner. Do you know, Jeff, what you're making CNN look like? He does. He's been making it look like what CNN has become for the last 8 years. Five, 8 years, started the shift. It was really pushed forward in a very fast way with Trump. Yeah, I think they all know what's going on. Yeah, he doesn't care about this. Now, Chris Cuomo ultimately won't survive this. I do like how they say, I don't know anyone who likes him. What about Don? I thought Don Lemon loves him. Don Lemon just the other day, I've never met anyone nicer than you. I mean, I haven't met you yet because when I got the show, we got into COVID and I've been working remotely in different studios and we never see each other, but I've never met anyone nicer than you. Who do you hang out with, Don? You've never met anyone nicer than the guy who threatened to beat up someone for calling him Fredo? You never met anyone nicer than the guy who pushed someone off the road almost? And remember the bicycle story when he was out biking? He got called out by another guy who was like, don't you have COVID? And they got into it a little bit. I think it was more verbal than anything. But do you remember that story?
Yeah, and I remember seeing pictures of Cuomo in like his biker gear. And those are photos I never needed to see. He competitively bikes. Ugh.
But you've never met anyone nicer than Chris? Don, what's going on, man? 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, it's 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local. It's brought to you by Alpine Specialty Cleaning. Online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle, and instead, we focus all of our attention on you, the communities you live in, the communities you care about most, and there are a lot of communities in the South Sound that are dealing with an increase in violent crime. We've been talking about it for the last several days, but really, when you go back and think about it, even though we've not done it every single day, we've been talking about this for months. We've been talking about this for months. Right now, the city of Des Moines is increasing police patrols in certain parts of the city because of just that, violence, shootings. In just the last few days, they saw four people shot. In 2 months, eight separate shooting incidents, five of them deadly. And they seem to be happening generally in the same spots, by a metro bus stop at the intersection of Kent-Des Moines Road and Pacific Highway South.
The location actually is good, but some of the things going on around here aren't so great.
It's a fine location that people are taking advantage of. That's Daniel from TLC Driving. He's talking to Q13, Fox 13. And he says the violence is a huge concern. But it's not just violence. It's much more than that.
Right out the window, and he's, 8 feet away.
8 feet away out the window, talking about a homeless person. What do you think he was doing?
Defecating himself?
Yeah, he's defecating. You got a homeless crisis that is worsening in Des Moines, just like everywhere else in Washington. But he says it's that in the combination with crime. It's just making our employees not feel safe.
We lost two people just because they're not comfortable being here.
So not only is he dealing with the economic realities of, you know, running a business during a pandemic, but the safety concerns, the homelessness concerns, causing people to quit. So police there are doing something, whatever they can about it, as much as they can. For now, that means conducting high visibility traffic emphasis patrols. What does that mean? It basically means you'll see us. Because what do we see? What do we say about criminals when cops are around? Do they generally engage in criminal activity?
No, police presence helps in, nipping crime in the bud.
Kind of weird how people don't rob banks in front of cops. I mean, they'll surprise the security inside. Sometimes they have a weapon, so possibly a bad example that I just used. But generally speaking, you know, you're not selling drugs in front of, well, I mean, unless you're in Seattle.
Do like a deli store. Use that as your example.
Generally, you're not going after a deli store trying to take all their pastrami when there's a bunch of cops who are, well, I mean, that's also bad because if they're there at the deli store and they're actually eating it and it's so good that they don't even pay attention, that's how good the deli is. That's
it is bad. A good deli in this hypothetical.
Yeah. So, but generally speaking, you get my idea that criminals don't actually commit crimes in front of cops because they know that they could get arrested. And so when you have a bunch of cops who are actively patrolling, who are proactive in the community, this is actual community policing. It can cut down on crime. They're going to do more. They're going to enforce trespass and other misdemeanor charges. This means when the homeless person is camped out where they shouldn't, they will make arrests. This is not going to go anywhere. They're not going to be prosecuted. People who are breaking the law, that's a problem. Des Moines police say they want the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives to do an operation in the emphasis area where they use informants to infiltrate gangs, gun, drug operations. Probably not going to get that, not under this administration. And like we said, it's not just Des Moines. They're not the only ones getting hit with this. You got Kent, got Tukwila, you got Federal Way.
We're going in the wrong direction with regard to the enforcement and accountability.
That's Jim Farrell, the mayor of Federal Way. He says in an interview with Fox 13 that there is an escalation in all areas when it comes to crime.
What we've really got is a deprosecution of serious crimes, property crimes. It's those things that where people are getting into a situation where they're escalating in their criminal behavior.
Escalating in the criminal behavior. Federal Way had another shooting today. Early this morning. Well, technically late last night, I guess. Shots were fired outside of an Arco gas station. Police said two men were taken to Harborview Medical Center with life-threatening gunshot wounds. This after other high-profile shootings that won't stop. Because as Kent Mayor Dana Ralph said on the show and now to Cairo 7 TV, that there is a criminal justice system problem. And no, it's not white supremacy.
We see what we have now, which is just this revolving door and criminal activity. And honestly, bad guys being more brazen because the accountability pieces are not there.
It takes people like Dana Ralph and Jim Farrell, kudos to him, for actually stepping up and saying this. Jim Farrell, I believe, is a Democrat. Dana Ralph, I don't think, is. I mean, these are folks who are saying what we've been saying on the show for the last year. When you depolice, when you attack police, when you defund police, when you say you're not going to prosecute, well, guess what? The bad guys notice, they take advantage, and they create more victims. And it terrorizes neighborhoods. And until you get that under control, until you make those changes, nothing's going to stop this deteriorating circumstance in Kent, Federal Way, Tukwila, Tacoma, the city we don't talk about during this segment. It's going to continue. You have all the power. I'll remind you that constantly. You guys have the power. You could step up right now and demand change. Call your lawmaker or lawmakers. Get in the ears. Tell them what you think needs to happen. Meanwhile, let's go to Tumwater. The city is working towards boosting the local economy by becoming a center for craft brewing and distilling. Tumwater.
As if we don't have enough of that in Washington?
But they want to be the best.
Oh, okay. I think that's the goal of all the other craft brewers and distillers.
Nope.
And what?
They want to be second best.
Do they?
Yep.
Wow. That's very noble of them.
Governor Jay Inslee yesterday visited students studying the industry at the South Puget Sound Community College.
It is the first craft brewing and distilling associate degree program in the United States. It's yet another Washington State innovation to help to build our economy.
We like our booze. Is there a stigma attached to this the same way there's a stigma attached to becoming like a bud tender?
No.
Right? This is more...
There's a huge stigma with the bud tender 100%. And going in that sort of educational route for whatever reason.
Well, because potheads are losers.
Because it's new. Give it some time.
Because they don't wear deodorant, if we're being honest. So I agree with you. I don't think there's a stigma attached to this. That someone says they're a bar owner, says, wait, you're a bar owner? You say you own a pot shop or a porn shop. Probably going to get like, oh, really? Let's keep my son and daughter away from you. And yet, why do we not have more distillery opportunities, educational opportunities?
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that weird?
So over at Central Washington, we had a craft brewing and wine studies programs that were like certificate programs. We never had the distill.
Just going to a bar on a Wednesday night doesn't count. You don't get any credit for that.
No. But so this is cool. I liked all my craft brew buddies at Central.
I like this as a concept. I'm just wondering why it's not a bigger thing, including in Washington.
Because do you need an educational background in order to do it? Or can you
just
do
it? It would be helpful if you did. So if you were interested in this and you got but you didn't want to go and get like a business degree, because obviously it helps if you know business and you can cater programs on the business side of things to this kind of industry, this industry in particular. I think it would make sense. I mean, do you need it at the UW? Probably not. Do you need it at even Central? Maybe not. But do you do it more at some of the community colleges? Yeah. Or maybe you do need it at Central, at Western, something like that. I don't anticipate it being a big deal over at a bigger college. Gonzaga's not going to take over. Whitman's not going to do it. But maybe some of the smaller schools or some of the state schools, community colleges, maybe they take it on. It just feels weird that they don't do it more often. Or if they do, I've not heard of any of those programs.
Well, good for the people in Tumwater. I hope that they get put on the map. I hope that they're number one sooner because everybody else wants to be number two, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, Tumwater, though, is kind of out there.
Kind of, but it's not like we have to... They'll come to us, you know? They'll be in our bars. They'll be in our, like, the little
beer tasting
festivals.
I know, but I'm talking about from an educational perspective.
No.
You're serving a much smaller group of, like, a much smaller population.
I'm sure they're a commuter school. People probably drive in from, you know, 45 minutes out.
I live in Sultan, but I go to the distillery program in Tumwater.
Okay, now that's a deep commute.
Yeah. I'm in Centralia.
That's better. That one seems That one seems a little more
realistic. That's better. I live up in Ferndale.
No.
No.
Let's just... No.
What is the map? Where are we going? What's the cutoff for Tumwater being a good location for a commuter school?
It's Pierce County.
Is it? So you're just saying, why not Thurston?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm saying like the northern cutoff is like Pierce County. If anybody's commuting from King County down into Tumwater, That's a drive.
The northern cutoff. Okay. So you're saying north of Tumwater. Okay.
And we're north of Pierce County. It's probably not worth it to drive down.
What about Federal Way?
Okay, maybe
Auburn.
Slow,
like,
maybe.
What about you, South King County?
Yeah, I know. I grew up there. I would hate to drive to Tumwater on a regular basis in order to get an education in craft brewing.
Okay, but what if you live in Kelso? I don't know why you're saying north. So south, you're fine. So Kelso, you're going to make the Longview drive?
I'm less familiar with those communities. I'm not going to judge where they drive from the south.
How about this? Tumwater.
Sure. That sounds like a fine place.
Sounds awful. Like the whole commuter experience. Just do it online.
Commuting
at that point,
back and forth to
college. Yeah, it doesn't seem right to do commuter schools.
Unless you're
very close.
Unless you're going for a great program like distillery.
But how do these programs work? So when I was in college, I'm assuming commuter schools.
4,000 years ago? Go ahead.
Okay, it wasn't 4,000 years ago. It was 2 years ago because I'm 24 years old. 23. How old am I? I would have a class at 9:30. Then my next class would be at 1:30. And then I was done for the day. And then the next day, maybe I have a 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and that's it. And then the next day, I'll have that 9:30 course again, and then we throw in So how do commuter schools work?
I mean, I'm sure it's similar to where, like, Monday and Wednesday, you're doing, block courses.
So
but
I have to drive from Tenino over to Tumwater for one course that's an hour and a half long and then go back home?
No, you probably, you stack your courses on, Monday, Wednesday, and then your Tuesday, Thursday,
better.
Friday
I
is
live
off.
I'm in Eatonville, and I'm going to drive over to Tumwater, my favorite commuter school.
Look,
for 2 days?
I don't have the answers here, Rance.
What if you live in Bothell and you could go to the UW-Bothell commuter school, but you're going to Tumwater?
Ugh, then it's not worth it. Get an apartment down there. I don't know.
And why is it called South Puget Sound Community College? It's called Tumwater School. Tumwater School for the Drunk. How's that?
Change the mascot?
Yeah.
Do a full rebrand?
It could be a bird that's got a beer in his hand.
Like a buzzard? And then it's buzzed all the time?
Yeah, he's buzzed.
Buzz the buzzard?
He's just always falling over. That'd be a good mascot. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show. There's an interesting story here that people are pretending is outrageous, and it's not at all. So there's this rapper, DaBaby.
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 DaBaby, yes.
And, at this point, I do now feel it's not a thing to say, I'm feeling old that I want to call out DaBaby. That's a stupid name.
No, you're old.
No, but that's a stupid name. Just stop that. Lil Pump, I'm all about.
This is better than all the Lils. There's like 57 Lils, and it all started with Lil Wayne. And
well,
now
he's still a baby, so he's Lil.
He's DaBaby.
So DaBaby was doing a concert at some festival a while ago.
Rolling Loud. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it's a okay, whatever. No one knows what that is.
A lot of people do.
18-year-old got a coke problem already.
You don't even know what Rolling Loud is, do you?
It's a festival. Yeah, I knew that.
Outside of that, what do you know what Rolling Loud means?
Yeah.
What?
You're rolling.
No.
In a loud way.
No.
Can I get to the story? We only got
4 Okay,
minutes,
go ahead.
Man. Jeez. So this dude goes out on stage, says some really awful things. Really awful things. Quote, if you didn't show up today with HIV or AIDS, any of them deadly sexually transmitted diseases that'll make you die in 2 or 3 weeks, put your cell phone light up. Not entirely sure I understand why he would phrase it in that way. I don't understand that at all. It's very weird. But that's what he said. He then tried to apologize for the comment via Instagram Live. That did not go so well at all.
You don't got AIDS, put a cell phone light up. I say, if you ain't in the parking lot, put your cell phone lights up.
No, we know what you said.
So I could drop my next song. I wasn't going on no rant. That's called a call to action.
There's a bizarre call to action.
It's a call to action.
What explain the call to action as you're apologizing?
That's what that's called, because I'm a live performer. I'm the best live performer. I'm the live show killer. You interact with your fans. Uh-huh. You get what I'm saying?
No, I got that part.
Look,
all
the lights went up gay straight. You want to know why? Because even my gay fans don't get AIDS, stupid.
Okay. Okay.
They don't got AIDS. My gay fans, they take care of themselves. They ain't going for that. They ain't no nasty gay.
Jesus.
You know what I'm saying? They ain't no junkies. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That was his explanation.
That was his apology and explanation. So then he did another apology afterwards. He said, hey, I'm going to learn more about the community. He apologized to, quote, and you clearly know he did not write this apology because it's to the, quote, LGBTQ+. He definitely didn't put that. In fact, he probably used a slur to which they had to delete and then put that in. For the hurtful and triggering comments. Oh, yeah, he said triggering. I definitely believe that. Unless, again, it was part of the original statement that used triggering in a literal word of pulling the trigger to kill someone. That I would probably believe. But he apologized. And he was taking this position that I will be meeting with several HIV/AIDS awareness organizations in August. So August came and went. And the story kind of gone away. But according to the Daily Beast today, DaBaby failed to meet any financial contributions to the groups he met with, as if he was supposed to give money, like, oh, I'm going to pay for my apology, and did not partner with any of them for World AIDS Day, which is today. Again, I don't remember him saying I'm going to partner and give money to any of these groups. He basically said I was just going to meet with and learn a little bit more. Some organizations even told the Daily Beast that DaBaby never reached out to them again following the initial meetings. Okay. Do you think he cares about the apology, or was he forced into it? Because a whole bunch of different festivals ended up canceling on him. That's all. You know what? Here's the deal. I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't give any money to any organization because he doesn't mean it. I'm glad he didn't partner with some group for World AIDS Day because he doesn't care about the issue. I don't feel the need to force someone to change a horrible view to make myself feel better when they're not changing anything. They are lying when they do this. The apology was a lie. Don't need an apology. I don't need an apology. This is a bad person. He holds horrible views. He's a bigot. He's a degenerate. And I don't need some fake apology, which would then just have the impact of giving him a pass for the comments he made. That's it. Oh, he didn't get with an HIV/AIDS group. Oh my God, I can't believe it. You can't believe it? Really? Should I replay some of the commentary? You didn't believe any of that? You think because he's going to, oh, you know what? I'm going to show up and go to a group and all of a sudden, you know, I'm changing my way. No, he's not. Keep your money. We don't need your dirty money. Stop this. You shouldn't be able to just pay your way into getting a pass for legitimately awful behavior. Take that, DaBaby. What's one of his songs?
Rockstar with Roddy Ricch.
Yeah, I never heard of him. I've heard the name, but I don't think I've ever heard of a DaBaby song. Okay, well, this is The Jason Rant Show.